Roll down tide.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, this is the Beer Garden presented by Oxford Crystal.
I'd like to hear a little bit more conviction in your take, though. There was a lot of maybes, a lot of what ifs, a lot of questions. You need to just get on here. You need to fire and put me in a position where I have to tell you that you're wrong.
And now, here's your host, Neil McCready.
Nice. Nice.
Welcome to another edition of the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. I'm your host, Neil McCready. Today on the show, Neil Stratton of Inside the League joins to talk all things NFL. Are the Bears for real? Are the Patriots, are we riding the obit too early? What about the Saints? Can anyone beat the Rams? We'll talk about those topics and more with Neil Stratton in just a little bit. First, let me tell you about the Oxford Crystal. It's Highway 6 West in Oxford, just next door to the Oxford Exxon. You can get the three-egg plate combo. Maybe you're coming in this weekend for Ole Miss and ULM. Be a great place to grab your breakfast. It features cold peak coffee and fresh cracked eggs. You can get, of course, the $2 square meal, the $3 square meal, the $4 square meal, or you can get the 12 crystal combo. Maybe you're recovering on Sunday, watching some NFL. Get the 12 crystal combo, 12 crystals, two medium fries, two medium drinks. And don't forget to get a large drink for a chance to win concert tickets. It's the Sprite Concert Giveaway presented by Crystal. All of that at the Oxford Crystal, Highway 6 West in Oxford. We're coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios. Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900 is that number. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. And he'll send you a quote on what you're requesting within 15 minutes in business hours. It's truly that simple. It's right to the bottom line. There's no haggling and no hassle. You get your quote, and the rest is up to you. You can shop that quote around. You're going to end up coming right back to Corey because Clark Ford gets you right to the bottom line from the very beginning. Corey wants to be your car guy. He wants to be your truck guy. He'll prove it to you. Just start out by asking for a quote. I bet you end up in a new Ford product from Clark Ford. Mention that you heard about Clark Ford on the Beer Garden, and you'll save $500 off the bottom line from Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900. We're also brought to you by Community Mortgage. It's located in Oxford, Memphis, DeSoto County, and Chattanooga. It's 30 years old. It's one of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. All of the underwriting and the processing is done in Memphis, so you know you're getting local underwriting that understands your market. Community Mortgage is also the leader in condo financing in the Oxford market. So ask Jason Lowe about Community Mortgage's float down option. It allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you can get the lower rate. Email him at jlowe, that's J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com. And we're brought to you by Strategic Partners in Media. SPM is a full-service advertising agency that works with businesses of all types, big or small, Fortune 500 companies to startups. SPM can help your advertising needs for TV, radio, print, and every facet of social and digital media. Look, here's why SPM is really good and different than other ad firms. They handle everything in-house. They don't sub their work out. The writing, the production, and the editing is done solely by their staff and crafted uniquely for their clients. Lastly, an Ole Miss grad and a Mississippian is a partner in the firm, so give them a call, see just how great they are. Email Austin@strategicpartnersmedia.com. Now here's Neil Stratton of Inside the League on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. Neil, thanks so much for the time. Really good to visit with you. We're getting ready for week five of the NFL. It's we're taping this on a Thursday. It's my son Carson's birthday. He's a little devastated by the Cubs' early exit from the National League playoffs. I think he had intended for them to win the World Series. It did not quite work out that way. He has, like his dad, as you know, I have never really had an NFL team, if you will. I grew up in Louisiana. Right. The Saints were awful. Right. And then when the Saints got good in my adult years and I tried to sort of adopt them, I felt guilty. Honestly, it was like, no, I can't do this. It's not fair. And it was the right call because when I watch people jump on the Cubs bandwagon, now that they're good, I don't like those people. So I did the right thing.
Yeah.
So it's funny. I like the Saints, and I cheer for the Saints, and I want the Saints to win, but they can't be my team. Does that make sense?
Let me just say this. As a resident of Northern Louisiana, I applaud you for not going over to the dark side and cheering for the team that I call the Shreveport Saints, the Dallas Cowboys, all right? As you know, and I think we've talked about this, I'm passionate about it. I have family in Shreveport. They're all Cowboys fans. I really struggle with loving them sometimes. It's not easy, okay? Not easy. So I give you credit for that.
Yeah, and I'm the same way. All of my friends as a kid were Cowboys fans, and I am.
Yep.
I am by nature, apparently, I finally accepted this at the age of 48, that I'm a contrarian. If everybody likes something, I will try not to. I don't know why that is. It's a natural thing. So anyway, my son, because I said, hey, I'm going to pick a team, and, you know, we go to Chicago a lot to see the Cubs and stuff, and I like Chicago. I ran the marathon there. I like the city. I just like it. It's, when I'm there, it just kind of feels good. You know what I mean? And I like
sure,
it.
Sure,
so I said, I'll adopt the Bears. Why not? And then they make this trade for Khalil Mack. And now the Bears look pretty good. So I'll open our NFL discussion by asking you this. They're four games in. I think they're off this week. Is there any chance that the Chicago Bears are a playoff contender?
Well, it looks like this is a year, right? Aaron Rodgers is hurt. He's playing on one leg. He hasn't really gotten into a rhythm yet. Their defense has been a little suspect. The Vikings, I mean, what's going on there? They've had a tough schedule. They play the Eagles this week. They could be looking at having one win entering week six of the season. Very possible. That's a game that's on the road. The Lions, who knows who they are? They beat the Patriots, but that's the only team they can beat. The Bears have a clear, have the momentum at the quarter pole. Now, I don't think that the Vikings are going to go lightly. I don't think the Packers are going to go lightly. And who knows, maybe the Lions surprise. But they certainly have a head of steam. And if Mitch Trubisky is half the quarterback he was last week, then maybe so. I mean, who had Mitch Trubisky throwing, what, four touchdown passes in the first half? Five? I don't know. Six for the game?
Yeah, he was. I think it was five in first half. Yeah.
That's as much of an out-of-nowhere – I think you're right. That's as much of an out-of-nowhere performance as any that I can recall in the last few years. I mean, wow.
We talked about Trubisky before the season, and I promise we're not going to spend the entire time on the Chicago Bears. But I listen to a lot of Chicago radio because of the Cubs, and sometimes they'll switch over to the Bears, and I don't feel like changing it, so I just keep listening. I mean, there was this, you know, he had a rookie year that a lot of people got excited about it, hopeful. He did not play particularly well in the opener against Green Bay, and even in week two, and into week three, he was just kind of average. And there was a lot of talk about, hey, maybe we're putting too much expectation on this kid. Maybe he's – and then, of course, the hot take, he's a bust, those kind of things. And then he has this big week, which obviously he's not going to do that every week. But Nagy and the coaching staff there, have they sort of figured out maybe the way to use him, the way to employ him to use his athleticism as a weapon?
You know, not having been able to watch the last game, it's hard to say. That seems to be the again, I'm kind of reluctant to jump on the bandwagon given that he was very uneven in the first three games. And notwithstanding the fact that he had a blow-up game last week, I guess I want to see more before I'm, you know, starting to anoint Groh and Nagy as, you know, the next, you know, hot young offensive minds. But it's possible. I don't know if they have a lot of weapons, but they've got enough weapons. And I think if Trubisky's going to be the kind of guy to warrant where he was selected in the draft, then he's got to make these kind of strides in year two. Will it happen? I don't know. I think it's still too early to tell, Neil, at least for my taste.
All right, let's switch to a team that I know is very much in their playoff window, in their contention window, and that's the New Orleans Saints. They stumbled in week one. But since then, they've rebounded. They've put up some wins. Offensively, they look like the Saints have looked like for a long time, and they get Mark Ingram back, I guess, now this week, right? He's back.
Correct.
Defensively, the Saints are kind of a sieve. They've got to obviously get better defensively. I would think they would tell you that. Yet, you know, they've won before when their defense was more just kind of opportunistic as opposed to, you know, they were never the 85 Bears. They were never a stonewall defense. They'd give and give and give and then take it away from you. From what you've seen so far at the quarter pole with the Saints, what's the ceiling for this team?
I think they've got a decent ceiling. One thing that eternally frustrates, and I guess this is not the Saints, but the NFL, they play so few veterans and they do so few real things in the preseason that it's almost like the real preseason is the first three or four games of the year. So you don't know what you have those first few weeks because everyone's so afraid that they'll get a veteran hurt in the preseason and they'll have to take a bunch of crap from the media. So the defense hasn't really meshed. I mean, the Saints love to plug in free agents all over the board. That's how they've always been during the Loomis era. And so they've got Davis at linebacker, who really had a nice week last week. And they've got a safety that came over from Carolina that they're still trying to figure out, you know, what the strengths and weaknesses are. They got exposed week one because they didn't know what they were doing. And frankly, I don't know that they've got two good cornerbacks. I think they have one good quarterback and two guys that are, you know, whatever. Especially now that they have had some injuries this year. So to answer your question, I think that the best is yet to come for the Saints. I think the offense is there. I think having Ingram back really benefits them. Is it a great year for the NFC South? We don't know yet. I think Atlanta's going to be better than they've shown. Obviously, their offense is able to put points on the board, but their defense has really struggled, and they've been crushed by injuries at key places. Tampa, I think, they've had a bit of a market correction in the last few weeks, and now Jameis Winston's the quarterback, and what do we have with Winston? I don't know. It's year five for him. I'm not sure. Year four, I lose track. Carolina's a good team. I think they're improved, but I don't know that they've really taken the step to where they're the best team in the division. So I think the Saints won the division. But you've got the Bears, who look really good. You've got the Rams, who look phenomenal. There's the Eagles out there, who, despite kind of a slow start, are really, to me, in kind of a weak division. So I think the Saints are probably one of the top five teams in the NFC. But whether or not they are the top team or can be the top team, it's hard to say right now, especially given the fact they've got a tough schedule, far tougher than last year.
I mean, I think
they come out of this bruise, but I think they make – I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, the Rams have to be the top team, right? I mean, they're just analytically phenomenal. I mean, they're 4-0 going into this game at Seattle. I don't know if you heard, but Seattle has, like, a lot of loud fans. They're the only fan base that makes noise. It's remarkable. But the Rams, I mean, I would think are somewhat of a prohibitive favorite there. Is there any chink in the armor there? I mean, outside of the obvious where they had a run on just, you know, an incredible run on injuries that took it away. Is there anything that you see that leads you to believe that this isn't going to be the team to beat when January rolls around?
Well, you know, they looked great on paper going into the season. And anytime you have that, I'm always, as a fellow contrarian, when I see a team that's got that much elected on there and applauding them and saying, hey, look, can they go, you know, they're going to run away with the division, then I'm always kind of like, let's see what happens on the field. Well, after 4 weeks, I mean, wow, you know. Now, they've given up some points, but I still think that given the fact that they have so many weapons on offense and they've got so many playmakers on defense and they have Wade Phillips calling the shots, that's a pretty nice combination right there. I mean, they have got a lot going for them. They are certainly, to me, they look like the team that wins the NFC. I mean, I hope that's not the case, but they make a pretty good argument right now. They are a very talented team with Young, it's exciting, and looks like he's got a lot of answers in year two, and an incredible defensive coordinator in my estimation. They got a lot of aces. They're holding some really good cards. I think they'd have to be a prohibitive favorite to go to the Super Bowl, at least at the quarter pole.
We touched on the Falcons a minute ago. Before the season, you would have looked at this game in Week 5, Atlanta at Pittsburgh, and you would have said, man, it's going to be a really good game. It could be a potential Super Bowl preview, stuff like that. Atlanta certainly looked the part the last few years. Pittsburgh always looks the part. But Atlanta's 1-3. Pittsburgh's 1-2. 1-2-1. I mean, I know it's early and there's plenty of time to recover and all that, but the loser of this game Saturday in Pittsburgh, they're in trouble, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you hate to call a Week 5 game an elimination game, but if the Steelers can't right the ship and the secondary can't slow down offenses, especially given the fact that who knows what they're going to have with Le'Veon Bell when he comes back in Week 8, it's going to be difficult. Now, the benefit that the Steelers have, they're at least there's not a team that's really the prohibitive favorite in their division. I mean, I like what the Bengals have done so far. I'm really not sold on the Ravens. You know, Cleveland is an up-and-coming team. I mean, that is a division that is a, you know, you want to talk about up in the air. I have no idea who's going to win. With that said, I think they could recover, but they're not in great shape to recover right now. Then you take the Falcons, a lot of defense. I mean, losing some of the players they've lost so far, mostly on the defensive side of the ball, is those could be mortal blows to them in an offense in a division that's got a lot of talented offensive teams. That's going to be a really good game to watch. And I think the Falcons take it, but if the Steelers won, it wouldn't be a complete surprise. But those are some teams that I think are going to be, they're starting to show some desperation, even though it's kind of early in the year. But Matt Ryan just kind of carrying the Falcons on his back.
Speaking of Matt Ryan, the way the NFL has handled quarterbacks has been the overriding story of the first quarter of the season. A year ago, it was about kneeling and all of that stuff. This year, it's a totally different topic. It's about protecting quarterbacks. You're around the league. You're around agents. You're around people who represent these guys. I know players are frustrated, especially defensive players. Estimation, has the league, because the league doesn't appear to be backing down from the stance, has the league overplayed the quarterback protection angle, or are they doing the right thing, ultimately protecting the people that people pay to see?
What is the number? You may be able to help me on this, Neil. I think the entering 2018, there had been something like, I don't know, 10 400-yard performances by quarterbacks or whatever like that, something like that, and now there's been like 10 through the first 4 weeks of the season, something along those lines. I think it's out of whack. Now, is that what fans want to see? Yes. Is that something that's, as you alluded to when you're introducing this, no one's talking about the kneeling anymore, even though sometimes if they're present would love it if they would. They're talking about the offense, and they're talking about the yardage and the touchdowns and it's magic, you know, notwithstanding last week's performance and all these kind of things. I think from an NFL standpoint, they love this, but I think from the purists and the coaches and the people on the field, it drives them crazy. And I still, forgive me, I haven't seen the footage of William Hayes blowing out his knee because he was trying to avoid falling with his weight on a quarterback. But how exactly do you sack a quarterback and guarantee that your weight doesn't fall on him? I mean, that's ludicrous to me. I think that they have gone too far with it, but I don't know how they turn back now because they're probably, I mean, the people that are writing the checks and cashing the checks are probably kind of have going. I don't know if the competition committee is going to have a strong enough hand to be able to go in and say, hey, look, this is crazy. We got to get back to football. That's not been the trend, certainly, over the last 20 years. I mean, we continue to put the onus on the defense to try to stop the offense with fewer and fewer. We just make their jobs harder, things like every year. So will it change? I don't know. Is it, I mean, these crazy, I mean, they make for great highlight shows, right? And that's probably what most of the people at NFL's headquarters kind of like. So I don't know that this is going to change anytime soon, Neil.
Well, and along what you're saying, I mean, like, for example, Carson, my son, wants to go see a Bears game. And one of the Bears games we've talked about going to see is Packers at Bears. And if I go to see the Packers at the Bears, nothing against DeShone Kizer, but that's not who I want to see. I want to watch Aaron Rodgers.
And that's why these rules are put in place.
We take a break from our conversation with Neil Stratton to tell you that the Beer Garden is brought to you in part by LB's Meat Market, 2008 University Avenue in Oxford, 662-259-2999. Call that number this weekend if you're coming in. Greg's going to be open from 10 to 2 on Saturday. He'll be open maybe a little bit after the game. But give him a call. Tell him what you want. He'll have it ready for you. 662-259-2999. It's right across from Kroger in the shopping center there on 2008 University Avenue. They got the freshest cuts in Oxford. We tell you about it all the time. The bone-in ribeye, USDA, boneless ribeye. They've got the Wagyu ribeye's fantastic. The sausages are great. Pork, chicken, shrimp fresh from the Gulf, seafood fresh from the Gulf. The sausages are fantastic. Chicken sausage, pork sausage, the ribeye sausage is phenomenal. Smoked sausage as well. It's all there. 662-259-2999. Grab a six-pack out of the beer fridge on the left, and Greg will knock some price off for you. It'll be $6 for that six-pack of craft beer just by telling Greg that you heard about LB's on the Beer Garden. The Beer Garden is also brought to you this week by Linson Little. Linson Little PA is Central and South Mississippi's law firm you want to hire for business advice and commercial litigation. Whether you're having trouble paying your debts or someone isn't paying you what they agreed to pay, Linson Little can quickly advise you of your best course of action. Linson Little has more than 60 years of collective experience representing companies and individuals in defaulted loan workouts, collections, repossessions, and foreclosures. Representing banks as well as companies having financial difficulties, Linson Little offers creative solutions to financial problems. Attorneys at Linson Little have the versatility you need, regardless of whether you need help with general business advice, issues with payment of taxes or representation in state court, federal court, or bankruptcy court. If you're in need of advice or assistance with your financial situation, call Jarrett Little at 228-867-6050. Visit their website at lentzlittle.com. That's lentzlittle.com. Or email Jarrett, that's J-A-R-R-E-T-T, at lentzlittle.com. So you've cut out the lattes, you've put in those curly Q light bulbs and brown bagged your lunch to work, but it still feels like payday, keeps getting here a day or two late. And a few hundred dollars short? Well, try this. Give State Farm agent Wally Morgan a call and tell him you'd like a free discount double check. It's a line-by-line review of your car insurance policy to make sure you're getting the discounts you deserve. Like 10% for being a good driver. Another 10% if your teenage driver happens to be a good student. 17% for simply combining your car and home policies. Add all those State Farm discounts up and it's pretty easy to see how you could be saving hundreds of dollars a year. So get started today by giving State Farm agent Wally Morgan in New Albany, Mississippi, a call, 662-539-7062. Because being there to help keep more of your money in your pocket is why he's here. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Discounts may vary state to state. Now back to Neil Stratton of Inside the League on the Beer Garden, presented by Oxford Crystal.
And you're right. These are the players that the NFL is marketing and is promoting, and they obviously want to try to keep on the field. And, every Packers fan knows what kind of a season the Packers had last year with Aaron Rodgers out most of the year. That's touchdowns. Defense wins championships, but offense wins viewers and fans.
My philosophy on this, Neil, is not complicated. It's, okay, I'm going to pay my money, and I'm going to travel, and I'm going to buy tickets, and he's already got the white Trubisky jersey, so he's going to want the blue one. We got stuff going on. Entertain me. Entertain me. Make it where I walk out of Soldier Field that day, hopefully for his sake, with the Bears having won a game, but I walk out of Soldier Field that day thinking, that was fun. That's good. Everybody was kind of fired up. That was a good game. And at Rodgers, he's a son of a gun. I mean, that's what I want, and I know I'm not alone. I mean, there's a lot of people that way. Right. So So when everyone does these parodies about laying the quarterback down and making sure that you put a pillow underneath his head and covering him with the blanket and sing him a song and all of that, I know, I get that we're doing the Saturday Night Live thing, but at the same time, I think, well, it's kind of funny if my two choices are watching Khalil Mack take Aaron Rodgers and carefully put him on the turf and pet him and say, you're okay, or him breaking him in half where I have to now watch 2.5 quarters of DeShone Kizer and it ends up being a 31-3 game. Uh-huh. I know which choice I'm picking. I want the fourth quarter with the Bears up 5 and the ball in the Packers' hands and Rodgers under center and everybody just dying, where one of two things happens. Either you make the stop and you walk out of there going, man, they stopped him, or he breaks your heart and you walk out of there going, that guy, he's different.
And that's, you know, I mean, NFL's built for fantasy football these days. But people kind of want to see. My only, as a, again, as a kind of contrarian and as a purist, the only problem I have is that these records, that the record that Drew Brees will set on Monday night, how long does it stand? I mean, if we continue to make the rules overwhelmingly favor the offenses, no rules, no record's ever going to stand. I mean, maybe a few weeks, maybe a few years, but as we continue to make it every game a 5-touchdown shootout on both sides, you know, it just, I guess it just detaches from football that I grew up with in the 70s and 80s, farther and farther away, and we begin to forget those eras of Steel Kirk defense. When linebackers were superstars, and when cornerbacks, you know, Mel Blunt was a big name and all those kind of things. But I guess, yeah, I'm doing a lot of talking. A lot of people are listening as, you know, scoring touchdowns and touchdown after touchdown. So I guess that's just a fact of life in the modern game.
Speaking of touchdowns, a guy who's made a bunch of them is Patrick Mahomes with the Chiefs. They're 4-0, maybe the surprise of the NFL right now. Mahomes has been terrific. They play a Jacksonville team that is very good on defense. The Jags 3-1 at Kansas City. Arrowhead, they're expecting rain and stuff, but Arrowhead will be crazy. It's not a must-win game for anybody because they're both in great shape, but this could be a playoff preview. I'll start with this, with Mahomes. I think people kept waiting for this to be just kind of a flash in the pan. It is not. He's terrific. How much does his presence and his emergence as an elite quarterback, and he is right now, how much does that change the Chiefs' kind of potential for this season?
Well, until someone can figure out how to stop him, it's everything. I mean, everything is riding on Mahomes, and I kind of had a good feeling about it, but who knew he was going to be the kind of player he's been so far? Wow. I mean, you want to talk about an offensive scoring machine. It's almost like the Rams, you know, the greatest show on turf days. I mean, they are unbelievable. I think it's going to be a great game because the Jags have such a defense. But, you know, without Leonard Fournette, it's going to be really hard to kind of slow, you know, kind of take the air out of the ball, so to speak. And I'm not sure if Blake Bortles is the kind of guy that can engineer an offense to stop him. But, you know, Mahomes has been, I mean, wow. Is outside of Khalil Mack, I don't know if anyone's even close to him in the MVP race. Again, at the quarter, Paul, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know what your opinion would be there. But
no, it would be those two guys.
Difference maker for the Bears.
It would be those two guys. Yeah, it'd be Mack and Mahomes as the guys who have truly shaken up the league quarter of the way in.
Yeah, good way to describe it. That's exactly what it's been.
You mentioned Bortles. Is Bortles just Andy Dalton with not red hair? He can win regular season games, but he can't win in the playoffs. I mean, is that what?
Well, I like Dalton better than I like Bortles. But I think Dalton's got a little bit more of an ability to carry a team. I think he's shown that so far. I mean, he started off like a house of fire. I think Bortles is a responsible player. I think he knows his limitations. But to me, Dalton's the, if we're just talking about Dalton and Bortles, I take Dalton 10 times out of 10. I feel like he's got a lot of things going, and I realize that it hasn't happened for him in the playoffs. And, you know, I'm a big fan of Marvin Lewis. I'm a big fan of Andy Dalton. I can't explain that. I mean, they've got some players on offense and have had some players on defense. And, you know, for many years, I don't know what Marvin Lewis's playoff record is, but it's been really difficult for him. I don't know why that is, Neil. But I think Dalton's better than kind of where he's been assigned in the league. He's a guy that can't win a playoff game. I don't know why it hasn't happened for him, but it hasn't. But if they get that far this year, then maybe this is the year. I kind of hope for him. I mean, I kind of root for Marvin because I've always felt like he's been a class act and never has, lashed out at all the critics and stuff. I think he's kind of gotten a bad rap, but, you know, we'll see. Again, we're just talking after 4 weeks of the season, so there's a whole lot more to be played, a lot more football to be played.
You know, it's funny. I've had one interaction with him in my entire life. Carson and I were in Cincinnati in June for the Reds-Cubs series, and we went to this donut shop because Carson has the metabolism of like a cheetah. Basically, he can just eat whatever the hell he wants, which must be nice because Carson eats a donut, and it's no big deal. I eat a donut, and I immediately gain 7 pounds. Even though scientifically that makes no sense because the donut was only a certain number of ounces, but I gained 7 pounds. So we go to this donut place, and
sure,
Carson's getting the maple syrup and bacon-covered donut, which, quite frankly, looked freaking fantastic. I mean, I could feel like the saliva kind of going out the sides of my mouth, and I'm sitting there trying to rationalize it in my mind, going, okay, well, if you ate the donut and you didn't drink 2 beers at the game, would it be the same? And anyway, the gentleman in front of us, at first, I was paying so much attention to the donuts, and Carson was locked in on the donuts, and we were having a very serious donut discussion.
Sure.
And I thought, that guy looks familiar. He looks familiar, and he was there with what appeared to be a child and maybe even a grandchild or something. And he made eye contact with me, and I went, oh, I know who that is. And I just didn't want to be the stalker. I just said, hey, coach. Which was a weird thing for me to say because I'm one of those guys in the media that never refers to the coach that I cover as coach. I refer to him as his first name because I cover him. He's not my coach. He's just the person that I cover. But I don't know Marvin Lewis. And so I, for whatever reason, instead of saying Marvin or Mr. Lewis, I just said, hey, coach. And he spoke, and we spoke, and that was the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
We got out into the Carson got his donut, and when he got through choking down half of it, he looked up at me and said, who was that? And I said, that was the coach of the Bengals. And he goes, really? Why didn't we get a picture? I said, I didn't want to do that to him. He's here with his family. And anyway, that was it couldn't have been nicer, so I kind of catch myself at times kind of going, I kind of hope the Bengals do well.
Mm-hmm. Well,
there's not a whole lot you can say to that. I just was telling you my story.
I'm walking up you. Yeah, I've had limited contact with him as well, but he seems, as far, he seems like a class act and a guy that maybe has gotten a little bit of a bum rap. I think he's a solid coach and just, again, hasn't had a form in the playoffs.
Yeah, big game for them this week. Miami at Cincinnati, both teams 3-1. A team that is not 3-1, a team that a lot of my listeners follow because of the quarterback, is the New York Giants. Eli Manning and the Giants are 1-3. They go to Carolina this week. Panthers are 2-1. Look, I don't know how much of it is or isn't Eli's fault. Looks like Saquon Barkley's a really nice player. Their offensive line's just not good. Is this just an OL thing, or would a more mobile quarterback be able to make more things happen for the Giants?
I don't know how many. I mean, I watched the Giants this week. I don't know what is going on exactly, but Eli's missed he makes normally. I mean, he's bouncing up, he's overthrowing them. The Saints defensive line is no great shakes, and they, despite the fact I think they got him 4 or 5 times, there wasn't consistent pressure, and yet he was still missing throws that he should make that an NFL quarterback makes. I don't know why that is. I don't know what kind of adjustments they make. Maybe it's a footwork thing. I have no idea. But I don't think we can lay the entire thing at the foot at the feet of the offensive line. Now, maybe Eli is so shell-shocked after taking a pounding so far this season that he's just not quite right, and it'll take him a little while longer to get to it. But I'm kind of of the opinion that maybe Eli's in his last days and in the league, and I don't know. Maybe he really comes on strong the second half of the season. It is a difficult thing, as you said. They do defensive line. They're going to be facing, you know, teams like the Eagles that have incredible defensive lines, and that offensive line is not going to hold up. And Eli's not the most mobile player. But even at his when he's not being pressured, I'm not sure he's having his best season. I don't know if he's a little disinterested. He's already made his money and won his titles. I don't know. That's just one game. I haven't seen him play every game, and I probably won't see him any more times this year. But that was my impression after watching this weekend.
Last couple things I want to touch on you with, and I really appreciate your time this morning. I know as the week goes on, it gets even busier and busier for you. The Raiders made that Khalil Mack trade. It looked terrible at the time. It looks even worse now. They're 1-3. They can't put pressure on the quarterback. They're probably 1-4 after their trip to L.A. to play the Chargers this weekend. Is there a scenario where John Gruden never really recovers from that Khalil Mack trade?
Boy, if I'm a Raiders fan, I'm not excited about the direction of the team. And I know that kind of goes against the narrative because everyone loves John Gruden. I'm more of a McKenzie fan. And it seems like from the moment Gruden got there, he really has pushed McKenzie out. I respect the job that McKenzie has done as a GM there. And, I'm kind of a GM guy. I'm talking about putting the talent on the field and the Jimmys and the Joes rather than the X and O's. I think it's going to get worse before it gets better in Oakland. They are getting ready to go to Las Vegas, and I don't think they're going to have a lot of momentum. He looked like a perennial MVP candidate. I don't know how this happened. I don't know what the answer is there, but it's I don't see the Raiders riding things around. I could be wrong, but they are. That's a franchise that's in trouble, if you ask me.
Two franchises that are not doing well is kind of the last thing I want to touch on. A lot of hopes for the 49ers erased with Jimmy Garoppolo tearing the ACL. The Cardinals are off to an 0-4 start. Mm-hmm. It's my opinion that any team named Cardinals should not win games, so that's fitting. Arizona's 0-4. The Niners 1-3. Not really asking you to break the game down at all, but for those two franchises, if you're the 49ers, is it just a lost season because of Garoppolo and all is basically okay? You're still on the right path? And with the Cardinals at 0-4 playing in a really tough division, is it time to kind of start thinking about a rebuild?
Mm-hmm. Boy. The Cardinals, I think the rebuild's kind of already started for the Cardinals. I mean, they've got a new head coach in there. They drafted their new franchise quarterback. He's going to be starting this week. He started last week as well. I think that's underway. I don't see the Cardinals recovering from this. I think they got a little old in some places, in some key places, and it kind of caught up to them. I think the future's bright, but I think it's going to take a little while to get there. Without knowing a lot of the details of what else they have and really studying them, it's hard to make a real forecast, but I think that the Cardinals I don't think 0-4 is a fluke, and they've obviously had their offensive struggles. I think they're better on offense than they've shown, but I don't know if they're appreciably better to where they're certainly going to win that division. Even though it's not a great division, and the Niners have been a weekend, and the Seahawks don't look like they've got their best team. The Rams will win that division going away. The Niners, boy, how wrong can I be on that team? Even when Garoppolo was there, they weren't off to a running start, so to speak. And with Garoppolo hurt, boy, they've really got some issues now. I don't know that I would say that they're in rebuilding mode. I, I think the way they played down the stretch last year is a better indication of who this team is. And they still have Kyle Shanahan, who I hate to admit it, they're a young offensive line in the game, along with McVay. I think if I'm the Niners, I think that we have to try to make the best of this season and hope that we can come back next year and make a run and maybe we're not that far away from it. If I'm the Cardinals, I think I got to settle in for a little bit more of a long, cold winter that may still be a couple years. That's a team that may still be a couple years away, at least in my estimation.
I said last thing, this is one more. By the time people hear this, they'll know the results of the game tonight, Indianapolis and New England Thursday night. New England got off to a bad start. They've kind of bounced back a little. There were people that, like me, who are just eager to write their obituary. I guess we're just kind of tired of them. We're ready to see someone different. What you've seen of the Patriots, they're obviously not as awful as they were early, but have they taken a step down? Are they more vulnerable in the AFC than they've been in a long time?
Well, I'll say this. They won the division. I'm a big fan of the Dolphins. I think the Dolphins have a market correction coming. I know they're 3-1, but I think the Patriots still have it where it counts enough to where I think they win the East. I don't think they go to the Super Bowl. I think they are vulnerable in that regard. I don't think their offensive line has been strength for a couple of years now. And obviously when you have Tom Brady, he kind of heals a lot of ills, but are they taking – I think there's some to this friction between Belichick and Brady, and a lot of times you can put that behind you when everything else is great and the winning's taking place and what have you. But I don't know. I think that they're probably on the downside, but my gosh, you know, how many times has their obituary been written, and they bounce back all the time. I'll tell you this. I can't wait for the time when Brady's gone to really see if Bill Belichick is a genius everyone says he is. I mean, I recall when he coached the Browns with Vinny Testaverde, and that was a bad team pretty consistently. Now, he's done great work drafting and identifying Brady as his quarterback and moving him up and doing all the kind of things that have marked their ascendancy. But all things come to an end, and the quarterback's a very important position, and the guy that they thought was going to be the heir apparent is now having his knee in San Francisco. So I think this could be a time when times change in the AFC, and maybe the KC rise is something that could be lasting.
My man, as always, it's always fun to catch up with you, to talk about the league. I know you do a great job, and I appreciate you spending some time
with us. A lot of fun, man, as always. Always happy to be back, man. Just give me a holler and let me know.
Talk to you soon. Thanks, Neil.
Have a great
weekend. You too. Again, our thanks to Neil Stratton of Inside the League for his time today on the podcast. We'll be back next week. Probably do an NBA preview. I would talk about Major League Baseball, but I'm a little heartbroken still. I'm going to get over it eventually. Right now, I really can't watch the Brewers. I'm cheering for the Braves. I can watch the American League a little bit. I can't watch the Brewers. I can't watch the Rockies. So the National League's out for a little while. I'll get over it. My professionalism will come through, and we'll talk about baseball as the postseason winds on. But for now, we'll focus on the other stuff. So football today, hopefully some NBA next week. The season gets started October 16th, so it's about time to talk about it. Working on a couple of guests for that as well. So until then, have a great weekend. Take care, and thank you for listening to The Beer Garden, presented by Oxford Crystal. Have a good weekend.